You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey guys, so here's a quick cutting blurb. It is 1:30 in the morning. I'm extremely tired. I've been working a ton of hours this week at my real job and didn't have a ton of time to record till very late today. So I flubbed completely when I recorded the Bojan preview just now and was recording through my computer instead of my microphone. So the audio quality is in this episode. Big apologies for that. It still sounds okay. It just sounds like I recorded through a computer instead of a microphone. So I really apologize, but we could just jump right in, do the whole thing. So here is the Bojan Bogdanović season preview.
Happy Wednesday. Welcome into another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we will continue to do our player preview series before the season gets going. And Media Day is in 5 days now, so it is creeping up on us. We can actually talk about the players instead of just musing about their seasons. As always, I'm one of the hosts of the show, Tony East with the West Indianapolis Community News. And no guests today, no Adam today, just me. You get to hear my soothing voice for the next 10 to 15 minutes because I completely forgot that I was going Wednesday, not Friday this week, and didn't get a guest, but that's okay. I have a lot to talk about, and I can do this whole player preview by myself because it is my favorite player on the team, Bojan Bogdanović, the Croatian sensation, and I just learned this about Bojan. His nickname, he's playing for his national team, Croatia, right now, and they call him Babo Beretta. So Babo is apparently a shortened version of his first and last name. I'm not following that, but the Beretta, the weapon, the Italian weapon, I like that they're calling him Babo Beretta, and I would like that to stick. I think that immediately leapfrogs him to having the coolest nickname on the Indiana Pacers. So Babo Beretta Bogdanović, our guy currently playing for Croatia. Before I truly get going on this, just a quick reminder that this episode and Mondays are sponsored by Vivid Seats. Use the code LOCKEDON at Vivid Seats to get $20 off and order over $200. So basically save 10% on your first order. But let's talk Bojan. We'll talk about more about Vivid Seats later. Bojan is currently playing for Croatia, and I guess we should do a brief update before we really get to his on-court play last year and next year. He led the team in scoring Croatia both games, I think, of their FIBA qualifying games for the World Cup. And the second one, for those of you that didn't see it, I wrote about it and tweeted about it. He got hurt, actually. He was on a fast break, and he went up for a layup, or his teammate went up for a layup, and he went up for the putback or something. I have a video, and I still don't really know why he went up because of the zoom of the video. But he came down awkwardly on a Polish player's leg and rolled over right away onto his ankle and tried to stay in the game and then ended up intentionally fouling a player on Poland to come out. And it looked like he was, he intentionally fouled to come out of the game. It didn't look great. He was limping. But then he, tested out at halftime, came in, played 9 minutes consecutively in the third quarter, played a big majority of the second half. So it looked like he was okay. And then post-game presser rolls around and he's limping again. So I don't know if it'll have any long-term effects, but it's something to watch just because the season is so close and it's an injury. And at halftime, he said it wasn't just his ankle, it's his knee too. And if it's a knee injury, that's really bad. It could have some effects. I doubt, if you were a listener to the show last year and you heard me guess Miles Turner's injury back in February, you know how terrible I am at guessing injuries. But this one could be some. It's probably not anything bad considering he played the rest of the game, but it's something to monitor. But I did hear that the team is aware of the injury. They're talking to him. It was Bojan's final game, which is good. And he played 35 minutes, so the team isn't really worried. But he is coming back now, getting ready for the week. So I'm sure we'll hear more when he's back, and some reporter will get all the details there. But last year, I was really excited for Bojan. They gave him that 2-for-21 pretty early on in free agency, and people liked it because of the non-guaranteed second year, which now he's on that, and he clearly earned it, and they picked it up. And people were talking about Glenn Robinson starting over this guy. I'm like, you don't go give a guy $10 million to have him ride the pine behind Glenn Robinson. But Kevin Pritchard loves the floor spacing. It's really part of his MO of team building. We've seen it in every press conference he does. We see it, in the way he has McMillan execute some lineups. And we see it in the way he's in the players he signs, and Bojan and Collison in back-to-back days are perfect examples of that. Bojan, a career 38% three-point shooter, shot 40% last year, career high, his first season over 40, but he's always been a high-volume guy, which is why he's been known as such a good shooter. You know, Jonathan Matthews always has this stat written for him. He's one of the few guys, like, only like five guys matched his shooting percentage and attempts per game last year. Like, he was a really good shooter in terms of volume and percentage last season, and that, you know, that's not something to blush at. I would argue volume is almost more important, especially, you know, if you're shooting especially if you're spacing the floor as much as he is with a guy all over you, and it really changes the game for the whole Pacers team when Bojan's out there. So that shooting is really what he was brought in for, but he ended up being so much more than that. I know, like, it seemed like the start of quarters is when this was ran a lot, but I am completely, you know, talking out my ass and just remembering poorly, but, you know, it seems like at the start of a lot of quarters, they'd run this play for Bojan where he'd curl around a screen from the wing. It was called a pin dive. You know, he'd curl in from the wing and they'd try to throw it to him at the elbow where he could, you know, he's basically catching going to the rim and he could, you know, dish to the corners, go for the layup or just reset the play. I mean, he's a sneakily good ball handler, which, you know, you wouldn't know that if you hadn't watched him in Washington. I watched him in the playoffs for them last year. But yeah, he can handle the ball a little bit, and that really made him more effective than just being a shooter. And that's why he was able to get over 14 points a game, because he could get to the rim. He shot 53.4% from 2-point range last year, a career high for him. And that's a lot thanks to his dribbling and at the basket. So from 0 to 3 feet, his second highest ever percentage, 63.2%, which is very good. And you know, that's not a thing that you know, you think of Bojan Bogdanović, you're like, oh, he can, you know, finish at the rim or whatever. You know, he's just sort of you just think of him as a shooter, and you really think of game three, which I'll talk about in a minute. But yeah, he was awesome as a dribbler last year, not as a creator, but just dribbling the ball, not turning it over. He was really good at that, sneakily. And then on defense, I'm pulling in my B-ball index friends here, but his perimeter defense is kind of meh, but his interior defense is better. His interior defense grades out as a C- compared to other wings in the league, better than 41% of players. So he's better on guys who aren't quick laterally, like LeBron, ironically, and that made him so good in that game three. Besides that, his shot was falling, and he literally changed the entire game by scoring, by shooting threes, by, you know, doing it all, hitting that 4-point play. He could guard LeBron in that game, and that made him, you know, the most valuable asset in the league. I mean, teams were looking for a LeBron stopper all the time, and he was at that game. He was excellent on him. But guys were quicker. He is not good with inside or outside, you know. Man, I'm trying to think of guys. Like, they put him on DeRozan. DeRozan's another good guy for him to guard. DeRozan he's got a really good shot fake. He's got good up and down speed, and he can hit a mid-range shot because he's clever, but he's not fast laterally, and that allows Bojan to be effective on him. But guys like pretty much anyone with speed on the wing, like if he was guarding James Harden, he would just be completely useless. Like Tim Hardaway Jr., I remember doing okay with Bojan guarding him. It's a very random guy to remember, but I do. Giannis, when Thad was on him, Giannis was struggling. When Bojan was on him, he just killed him. Just quick wings in general. I mean, I could go on and on. Just feast on him because he just can't stay in front of him. So that is his biggest weakness on that end. But again, on the inside, he's okay, especially for a wing. And if you really look at remember these grades from B-ball index or talent. If you compare him to wings, you know, he's an A, or he's in the 87th percentile as a perimeter shooter, which is an A-. You know, he's a B or better in every other talent stat we have, except for playmaking, where he gets a C and he's basically average compared to wings. So he really is a pretty talented offensive player who just, you know, when he's asked to do stuff, he does it. He's just not asked to do stuff very often, so he doesn't look like, you know, the flashiest guy. I mean, I was shocked by this one. Like, I just talked about his finishing, but even his one-on-one play graded out as a B+, better than 76.5% of wings, which is incredibly impressive. And he, you know, got a B in the post. I think we all knew that. His height's pretty good. He's a good stroker inside. You know, he really is a talented offensive player, and I think that's really understated. And I really beat the drum about liking him so much, both because, A, I actually like him, and I think he's just goofy, but B, because I think he's actually a very good and important player to this team. And I think that that's going to continue to be the case, and his injury could be a bigger deal than, well, if it's even a bad deal, than people are thinking. But, you know, we always try to do this, like, take the player, think about their prior season and project it to next year, and I'm going to do that after this break coming up in a second. But with Bojan, it's going to be harder because he's pretty much going to be in the exact same role on a very similar roster. So projecting any changes might be a little hard, but I will do my best here in a second.
Okay, guys, for this ad break, me and Adam actually want to talk to you during this ad break for once. We want to talk to you specifically about Vivid Seats, who is a great ticket company that will sell you your tickets to whatever event you're going to go to. Adam, what do you like about Vivid Seats?
Well, so you can get an offer of on $200 or more, you can save $20. Get $20 off on $200 or more. As we know, preseason's coming around. Opening night is what, 6 weeks away? No, 32 days away. I'm thinking September 1st or 32 days away. 31. Well, yeah, because we're recording on a Sunday. So 31 days away, you can buy tickets to that game. There's a game that weekend, I believe. There's games all season long. You can buy tickets to that. Whether you want to go to Colts games, I don't know. We interact with that. Or we go to a concert or whatever it is. If you buy $200 worth of tickets, so you take the family out, you know, you and your wife and your kids or whatever it is, you get $20 off. It's a pretty good deal, especially if you're buying a lot of tickets. It's a great deal for that kind of thing.
Yeah, so I couldn't actually make it up, obviously, to see the Vikings, my Vikings yesterday. But I was checking Vivid Seats around for how it worked. It was really great. You can sort by location. You can sort by price. It's really great. It's very user-friendly. And you can get it on the App Store. You can get it on Google Play. You can get it on your Android. It's really awesome. But like Adam said, also, there's a 100% guarantee that the tickets will work. But also, like Adam said, the best part is you can receive $20 off any order of $200 or more if you use our promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, to save your money on Vivid Seats.
I think I'll probably use it to go to a Colts game maybe at some point this year. Those tickets are costly, so definitely be good to use.
But they could be less costly if you get 10% off using our code Locked On.
That's code Locked On.
So Vivid Seats, go check it out, guys, and back to the show.
So, like I just said, it's gonna be interesting to see if Bojan's minutes drop at all. That pretty much comes down to if the team's going to use Tyreek Evans as a small forward very often. We are having this discussion in the 8.9 Seconds group chat, and you can read about what Jesse Smith thinks Tyreek's role is going to be as a guard later today on 8.9 Seconds. But I'm not sure how much he'll really play the three. I don't know how much they're going to use Tyreek for anything. I can't wait for preseason games so I can really see what they have in store for him. But, you know, you have no idea what to expect from Evans, and that's why you don't know what to expect from Bojan in terms of minute drop. I think he's going to play about the same minutes. You know, McDermott's not going to be eating many of them. I mean, he'll eat a little bit, but not much. Well, I mean, I think McDermott's just going to play the 18 minutes that Bojan didn't play last year. Their backup threes were like Damian Wilkins and Glenn Robinson, which I've talked about a million times, but neither of them were very good last year, so they just didn't play them that much. I think, I think there's threats to Bojan. He's so useful that I don't think they'll actually take them. Maybe he'll go down to like 28 minutes a game instead of 31, but not so drastic that it's going to like make him a different level of impact player. But I think, you know, that is going to be something to monitor is how McDermott looks, because I said this on the show before. I think something attractive about the Doug McDermott signing is that he has a very similar play style to Bojan. He's a very good cutter. He's a very good shooter. We all know that. And not as good of a dribbler as Bojan, but pretty good compared to expectation, especially. I think that they won't really miss a beat if they run a similar system with McDermott on as Bojan, and that's attractive to the team. But like, if he can seamlessly squeeze his way into the starting lineup and do as well as Bojan, that could be a threat to his minutes, because they have McDermott locked up for the future, and they would like to try to fit him in around Oladipo if they really can. But yeah, like I said, Bojan is much better on D than McDermott. Bojan being much better than anyone says more about McDermott's D than Bojan's. But he'll play much more than him for that reason alone. So what I think is interesting with Bojan is not so much, you know, his diminishing minutes because of other players, because his role is going to be the same. So that's not interesting. It's just that he's doing the same thing less. I think it's how he gels with some of the new guys is much more interesting. Especially the guy who could ironically take one or two of his minutes, Tyreek Evans. I think Tyreek is going to be huge for Bojan, because sometimes, last year especially, because they had no backups for him, Bojan played with the second unit. and kind of was asked to create, not like really, but just a little. And I think now if he can be like this spot up assassin who can catch shot fake and dribble against the second unit defender who can't stay in front of him, I mean, because Tyreek is drawing all this attention, I think Boyan could be really good. And he won't be guarding someone as effective, supposedly, or probably, because it's a second unit. So, you know, he can use more effort on the offensive end. So if he does get paired with Tyreek against some bench units, I think Boyan could be really effective. And that could be a way to get some quick points, you know, if they need to try something like that, go more starters against more bench. And, you know, I think that is where his biggest impact could change could be, is playing with second units more. Or not more, but like in a different role, because I think the Pacers' second unit's going to be really good. So fitting in along those guys could be where he changes the most. Instead of being in more of a creator role, he can be more of his play finishing role, or like the final setup man, making the defense rotate and hitting that final pass. I think he'll be doing a lot more of that next year. Maybe a few more picks, pick and rolls with Sabonis. He didn't really have that last year, but if he's with the second unit more, that could be something he can do. I don't think he's terrible in the pick and roll. I mean, I wouldn't like him to like be aggressive in seeking it out, but it's, you know, it's something that could happen more if he does fall into that second unit trap. And then he could help Aaron Holiday develop, ironically, if they ever share the court, just because of his floor spacing. He's a good guy for that. And that's, you know, I mean, McDermott is too, but you'd like to, ideally, you'd have both of them out there instead of Thad. You'd have Bogdanovich and McDermott out there to stretch the floor and give Holiday as much more space to develop. So I think his impact on the second unit is going to be where the biggest change for him is this coming season. And I think he's really going to show his value both with the starting unit and the second unit next year. So I think a similar stat line is what I would expect, just a little less minutes, but a little, you know, incrementally different impacts in a few of those minutes. Well, but I'd say 20 of his minutes are exactly the same last year with the starting unit, and then the other 8 to 10 are slightly different with the second unit. If he's with Tyreek, he's going to be out there to space to kind of finish, and if he's out there with Aaron Holiday, he's there to space the floor. And if he's out there with Sabonis, he's there to catch Sabonis's passes when he short rolls. So, you know, similar stuff to last year, just slightly different, which will be awesome to watch. I bet he finishes, you know, probably 13 points, same amount, you know, of rebounds, probably 3 rebounds and one or two assists. I mean, his passing is not his thing. I don't want him to be the guy creating shots for someone else. So if he keeps his turnover rate down like last year, career low 10%, then I don't think he'll have a problem getting enough looks and all that. So I think that expecting a similar stat line for him is where I'd put him. And I think it's going to be fun to watch, and it's not underrated. So just remember with Boyan, keep an eye on him on the second unit. But in the immediate, keep an eye on that injury. I'll have an update, or we'll, Adam and I will be back Monday. We'll have an update if we hear anything by then. So be on the lookout for that. For today's show, Boyan's all we got. So thank you for tuning in. Adam will be in here on Friday to keep the small forward trend running with Doug McDermott. I believe he has a guest. I believe Nick Engstad from Locked On Mavs, who Dougie McDermott closed the season for last year, will be on. He was on for like a five-minute segment to talk about him with me earlier, but we'll go a lot more in depth and try to project forward a little more this time. So should be really interesting. I really enjoy these season previews for players. But that has been today's Locked On Pacers podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in, and have a great day, and we'll see you on Friday.